podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
I'm in trouble like because Spoke. Producer Ethan's giving me daggers.
Because Spoke, when he said, go get a bat.
Said no, we've decommissioned the bat. In fact, I'm annoyed to see it's still about. I thought we'd got rid of it.
We didn't get rid of it.
No.
Upstairs is different to downstairs.
Yeah, upstairs is like the Wild West compared to down here. Hey, anything goes up there, I'm telling you.
I've just seen a tweet from United Plug.
Oh, them?
Yeah, via Telegraph Ducker.
Okay.
Did you text him, by the way?
No, I didn't. I don't like the fact you're on camera saying things. I nurture these relationships, Stephen.
I explode them.
Not for you to destroy them just because you don't care.
Anyway, he's put, Casemiro was watching the game against Brentford from his home in Madrid, because that's where he lived.
Madrid.
Yeah, I think it's near Wiest. And he texted his agent saying, tell them I'll fix this.
That's midnight, isn't it?
Is it possible to shag a tweet?
Let's test that theory. Let's find out, because that is amazing.
Fucking love it.
So he didn't look at it and go, because let's have it right. If he'd have looked at that 4-0 loss against Brentford and gone, I ain't moving it out.
Jesus,
they're shit.
You want me to go and play for that shower? Not a chance.
He's sitting there going, what is a Brentford?
Yeah. He's sitting there going to his agent, you are fired. Like, why have you got me a move there, you absolute dickhead?
Is yours hot?
It's lukewarm.
How's a new brew lukewarm?
Yeah. Did you just use the hot water tap to make this? Hey. That'll do. That'll do. We'll have it there. We'll have a bit of hot warm water. Hey. It moved it, he's put it over the candle and she's passed it to us. Listen, I'm not knocking your brew making capabilities anyway, Anna.
I fucking am.
We appreciate it. You're not here to make brews.
You wouldn't say that if she weren't a bird.
What are we in? How long are we into this? 3 minutes, 11 seconds, and he's already at it. Do you know what I made a mistake of thinking today as well earlier? I missed the hand on a video in ages. I missed the Invincible stay. It took 3 minutes for that to wear off. Contact the legal team, Dave.
Speed dial.
Do the disclaimer. Are we in focus here, by the way? Because I'm either that or I'm back on the bizzle. Looks a bit blurred, is it me or what?
Oh, you're getting back on it as well, aren't you, if Marcus scores that trick?
Mate, I'm not making any more promises. People slammed me goal mix and didn't get me neck tattoo because he scored for England.
You didn't have to. It wasn't a neck, was it? Wasn't it just a tattoo?
No, said neck.
Said a neck on side. But I didn't put a time scale on it.
No, you didn't. Right.
So when we lift the treble with Captain Marcus, then I'll get it and I won't look stupid.
You see the guy that got Messi in a shit font, it must be said, across his forehead, is regretting it.
No.
Is he regretting
Call
it?
Call me old-fashioned.
Hey. So he's got Messi across his forehead?
He's filled the gaps and all. He's not just gone message or like classy in the middle.
Yeah.
Like he's gone fucking like billboard with it.
This is just a lunatic. It's not even a lunatic, just an Argentina fan.
I don't necessarily know. I couldn't give you the information that he's an Argentina fan. It's a guy who likes Messi who got it tattooed on his head, and that's all the information I can give you.
I don't think I've asked you this. I don't know why I haven't. It's a bit weird. But do you think Messi's the goal?
Roy Keane played golf.
Right, okay, good answer. Not good answer. Apologies for asking such a stupid question. I didn't know if you were going to go Robson or Keane. So I just thought I'd ask you a roundabout way. You can always tell someone's age by whether they think Robson or Keane's the best player they've ever seen. Do you know what I mean? Or maybe best, if you're of a certain vintage. What about you, Dave?
I'll have to go with Brian Robson because he didn't, you know, force his way out the club or drink his way out the club.
I hold on to things more than I should have, right? I hold on to things where
Kinnell
like,
Fergie.
I'm like one of the few that still has a little bit of resentment towards Vidic the way he left. I love the guy, but I'm still a bit like, he kind of left in a shit way. Do you know what I mean? I still have that. Don't get me started on Peter Schmeichel, obviously. But you're worse than me. You are like that guy.
So you're there till you get told to fuck off.
I thought Roy Keane was treated horribly. Like, he went on MUTV and just told a few home truths.
Here's the thing.
He just
Roy
said
Keane was
all
such
rubbish.
A character in the dressing room. And the truth is, 2005 vintage Roy Keane was not the 1995 vintage Roy Keane.
No.
And his demise was quick. And when he couldn't cut about a place, he did a couple of years as like the sort of deep line playmaker, but you saw when he went to Celtic, didn't exactly impose himself on stuff. And he was retired with did he do 6 months?
It was injuries, wasn't it? It wasn't just, it wasn't age, it was
injuries. No, it was a combination of a load of different things. And the injuries finished him.
Yeah.
And the writing was on the wall. So I can imagine Fergie going, Roy Keane's a serious, serious, serious character. Perhaps the biggest character that's ever been in a football dressing room. I think it's...
I don't think that's an outrageous statement. I think that's...
In terms of the authority and respect. Yeah, I think
there's weight in that. I mean, there's a debate, obviously. You can argue others, but he's in that category.
But I don't think Fergie really had loyalty to players.
Sorry, I didn't mean to go on. Finish.
I thought he had loyalty to the club. I didn't... You know, these people say they had great relationships with him, but the moment they weren't good enough for the club, he'd get rid of him no matter who they were. And I don't think he really cared if he got rid of him because it was for the betterment of the club.
I thought he'd seen him as a potential, like, moving him on, I thought he thought was going to be a nightmare. And I thought he wouldn't have gone quietly, he wouldn't have gone quickly, and he was no longer putting in the level of performance that required he played every week. No. And Roy Keane isn't going to be a guy that sits on a bench.
And when he went as well, he was done in, like, he was so quick.
That's what he was saying. That's like, because it's interesting, Gary Neville in his book says that... after 99, Roy Keane had a bit more of an edge to him that he probably didn't need because he was like he was extra angry because he'd
but 2000, out. Roy Keane was a force
he
of
was,
nature.
He was a force of nature. But I think when you've got that edge as well, you're right. And it keeps you going, it keeps you driving. And then you start seeing in that period of 2005 standards dropping. Well, 2004 onwards, isn't it, for a few seasons.
I don't think his standards dropped.
Not him. I mean, the club. You're seeing us going from Rude, from Beckham, from the class of 92, from winning everything, to that 2004, 2005, I think he left in 2005, wasn't it? Period where...
You've mate, got these 2005, we lost George Best. The Glazers took United over and we sacked our captain.
There was
Anas Oribilis.
There was Fergie out chance during that period.
You had Chelsea winning back-to-back titles, the fucking special cake coming in, and all of this going on. Yeah, obviously
do you know what the icing on the cake was as well? Well, in 2005, you're right, it was the worst year ever. And then I remember sitting down and thinking, I know what'll cheer me up. I'll watch the Scousers get beat off Milan. Oh, Mint, 3-0 up. Happy days.
I was on exercise for that. And Jesus, fucking fat, horrible Scouse sergeant, you know who you are, was my gaffer. And he'd rigged up like a 10-inch black and white TV to watch it. And him and some fucking bird that I didn't like were watching it. And after they won, they woke me up. I'd gone to bed early because am I watching that? No, I'm going to get some Zeds. And they woke me up. And the shit celebration of them, they were like, yes, European champions. Oh, fuck off, will you? Fucking hell. Like, I'd have been off me nut. I'd have gone home. Behave yourself. Like, just a proper Tim Henman. Yes, fuck off. What's that? Some aggression in you. But yeah, Roy Keane, what are we on about? I think Fergie just thought he's going to be a problem. We have to find a way to expedite his exit. And I think he just saw an opportunity because, like Keane said,
it was less than after that interview, it was less than a week when he was gone, wasn't it?
Yeah, it might have been quicker than that. It was the day after, wasn't it?
I just remember, this interview's been taken down, and then the next minute, it was time for Celtic.
I think it was just like they needed a way to get him out the door. And I think Roy Keane himself said, didn't he? I've said worse to your fucking face. I am creasing up though at some of the back and forward conversations. Like Edwin van der Sar going, well, I think this, you've been here 2 fucking minutes and done more interviews than I've done 12 fucking years. I can imagine Roy Keane being that biting and that quick with it. And, you know, Kieros coming in and being, and there's something about his fucking training sessions. And he's like, well, Carlos, do you fucking bang your missus the same way every time? Or sometimes you flip her over and fucking mix it up. And he's like, I don't think that's a problem. He's like, it's fucking boring. I mean, Rio said something, didn't he? And he's like, you played good for 20 minutes against Tottenham. Don't think you fucking made it.
Yeah, yeah.
Just
that
thinking,
was what it was.
Jesus Christ.
Well, there's an interview. It's like a live show. It's Neville and Keane.
Yeah.
And Keane's like going, yeah, I don't think I said anything to you, but he's like, Roy, I was in that dressing room. It was horrendous.
Oh, yeah, it was. Wasn't it? He was trying to say to him, like, you know, it was bad. Like, I love that, though. I love that, Edwin van der Sar. You've been here 5 minutes. You can shut up.
Well, you've done more interviews in 5 minutes than you've been here, and I've been here 12 years. You've got too much to fucking say, as it is.
Mate, do you know what? I would love to see that interview. I would love to see it.
I'd love to just be... I'd love the opportunity to see some of the behind the stuff. You've got the captain's log that Steve Bruce did. Roy Keane's this giddy, almost teenage, kind of like excitable, laughing kind of character. And then 10 years later, it's just this weird serial killer kind of ruthless fucking nutcase.
It is sad. It's sad to see, isn't it?
I'm not saying it's sad. I'm just saying.
Well, it's weird how he's gone now, where he's
like. I like it, to be honest.
He's got him and Micah Richard like a pair now.
I know. I like Roy Keane. I know what you mean. I like Roy Keane's opponent. The sad part for me is the way that
it's Fergie.
Like, it's Fergie, and like you know when like he was on with Ian Wright once, and Ian Wright was giggling about it, and then you see him doing that show of the air, and he's like, just okay. I respect Brian Clough, and I get it, but then it's like
he's just a bit bitter about
it. He's bitter in it, and it's like Brian Clough's the best manager I've ever played for. Really? Like, is that how you going on? And then, like, just picking players that fell out with Fergie.
That was the best bit, wasn't it?
Do you know what I mean? Like, just picking his entire 11 or whatever, or whatever he picked was, just anyone that had a row with Fergie. Do you know what I mean?
There's like, in Matt Dickinson's book, 1999, he talks about...
I got that from Christmas. I need to read it.
He talks about Roy Keane now ain't giving you the truth, but Roy Keane done two autobiographies, and he did one in about 2002. I think that's right, isn't it?
So the one that got him the ban?
Yes. No, it couldn't have been 2002 then. Maybe. But yeah, so he's done two autobiographies. And the first autobiography, he's still at United, he hasn't fell out with Fergie, and he talks about Juventus, and he talks about it differently to how he talks about it now. And I think that's the truth. Yeah. Because now I'm almost offended that I did my job. Like, come on, no, it was, like, even Fergie was lost for words on that performance in Juventus. Like, that was the greatest performance a Manchester United team has ever put in.
Yeah. And you know what I love about that game? What's absolutely crackers is they didn't interview Fergie at half time. Can you imagine that? Like, they're literally on the touchline interviewing him and he's all right with it. You think, like, he'd be like, what are you doing? But he's, like, proper just giving a normal interview, like it's, you know, post-match. It's mad, that, isn't it?
If you've not got the audio version of the 1999 book, put it on. Oh, mate, I've been so emotional listening to it. Just living. It's April when you hit the semi-final with Arsenal, the semi-final with Juve. I think they were back-to-back.
Yeah.
And you're just giddy knowing what's coming and listening to the stories, listening to who got dropped and what they had to say to him and just reliving the fucking saves.
I need to, because that is such a blur for me as well. So I went to quite a few of them games, but I remember my mate broke his arm, right, and they gave him these painkillers called Capeca.
Mate, I've had Capeca.
Yes, Capeca.
Did you have some?
Did we have some? We're living off of Smarties for about two weeks.
This is definitely bad advice. So I'm going to say, just so we don't get cancelled,
Don't take
Capeca. However,
unless they're prescribed. Mate, me and him were in a Capeca hole for a fortnight. Right?
I think it's just called Capeca, by the way.
Yeah, Capeca, sorry.
Like we were called fucking bouquet before.
Yeah. We were necking knees and drinking and doing other things during that period. And it is a blur. I can barely remember any of it. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's a few little moments. Obviously, I remember night in the Champions League final and whatnot. Well, most of it. But yeah, I love that. I've got that book. I need to read it. There's a few people in the comments saying it as well, talking about that book and talking about how good it was.
Can you get the comments on the screen, please?
Witterbird says, that is such a good book, 1999. Santa Notch is in the comments as well, saying Keane was like the aggressive Michael Caine of football. Yeah. Why not?
Expand on the reference.
Yeah, come on. we've got Andy Tate in the comments as well. Always good to see Andy Tate. What's he saying? Demolition derby. Andrei Kanchelskis 5-0, 94.
Hell of a game.
Yeah, man.
Is that when we stood on the ball?
No, he didn't. No. He stood on the ball while he was at Everton.
Was it Everton or Rangers?
I thought it was
Everton, but it might be Rangers 95. Now he said that.
Yeah.
Kanchelskis definitely in blue. Such a fucking player.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? It was mad when he left.
Garnacho reminds me of him.
Really?
Just gets it and has it.
Yeah.
He isn't thinking about, oh, do I cut inside? Fuck you, see in a bit.
You know what I used to love about Kanchelskis? His crosses were like, I dare you to stick your head on that. Go on. Yeah, see if you can stick your head on that and survive.
Are you aware of the word concussed?
Yeah. Well, you're about to be. Because he just absolutely lever it, wouldn't he? Smash it across the goal. And you know if you get a touch off that, it's leaving your foot or head at 100 mile an hour.
Skip. When dribbling?
Yeah, a little bit.
Because he had a very unique dribbling style. Yeah, he used to have like a little bit of a thing with his hands.
He's like way up.
But he'd also, he would dribble with the same foot, but there would be a skip in between it. He didn't do the skip. You ain't cool. You can't sit with us.
He was minting money. And it was weird because He was the one you didn't see coming at all. Like, Ince, okay, him and
Fergie.
It's
in the book about how he just... Matt Dickinson's on his way to the cliff.
Yeah.
And Andre Kanchelskis on his way out. And he's like, I'm fucking sick of this. I want to transfer. And they're like, oh, that's an exclusive.
Yeah.
So they're like, you what now? And he's like, I told my agent, get me a transfer. I want to leave. And they're like, sweet. So they write it. And then obviously they get a phone call the next day. Who the fucking else told you he wants a transfer? And he went, he did. And they were like, we didn't fucking run it past me. And that Matt Dickinson's like, well, to be fair, Alex, you're not the easiest person to get hold of at times. Yeah. And he's like, fuck you. Like, here's the other thing, right? Fergie's got this sort of, like, vibe now because he calmed down and media changed in the last 20 years. He's almost someone's granddad kind of character. Yeah. He's, like, lovely, innit, Fergie?
Yeah.
That's not who Fergie is.
No. People won't realise now. He banned talking to the BBC or letting him in press conference and stuff. He's like, nah, I'm not coming. Yeah. The fucking BBC is the biggest broadcaster in Britain.
Dressing downs players used to get in training. Obviously, the hairdryer and thingies. But there was one where, I think it's in the book, where he's talking about giving someone a bollocking in the Cliff car park and rinsing them. Don't you? I think it was the Class of 92 lads, because one of them was giggling.
Yeah.
So he sends them on a lap to the You Missed Uni and back again
in
their boots. Can you imagine? David Beckham, most famous man on the planet at the time. It's like literally like sending Ronaldo... like 6 months ago, go do a fucking lap round Urbis, right?
He's mad.
Can you imagine?
One of our reporters, he used to do stuff for City when I was at Key. Our sports reporter did stuff like City's match day stuff. And there was a billboard with him on the billboard for City interviewing like Vincent Kompany or whatever. So he says, like, Fergie rang him, said I need to speak to you. And he said, like, he got to Carrington or wherever it was. And he just said he went fucking mad at him. Why the fuck am I driving all the Mancunian Wayne scene? You interviewing City players. And he's like, it's my job.
Bollocks.
So I just went mad at him. And then like, that's just something, fuck off, get out of my fucking office. And he's like, what have I done here? Like,
that,
I don't work
that
for you.
That book is a peek into that angry, ruthless Fergie. Do you know the one that used to sit with a journalist and be like, asking them to fucking justify what they fucking written.
Yeah.
That's a load of
it's
arse.
Like, we had Daniel Taylor on, didn't we? And he said he got banned for telling the truth. Yeah. I think it's funny enough about Rio. I think he said Rio was injured and he got it stood up and he knew he was injured. And then he said, like, oh, Rio Fernandes a doubt. And Fergie rang him, went berserk at him and said, right, you're banned for life.
That Class of 92 one, I think he's like, you're a fucking disgrace. You'll never play for the fucking club again. You're a fucking, see you next Tuesday. And he's turned around, he's like an 8-year-old boy there with his mum like. And he's like, oh, fuck.
You could see the anger when he was younger though in that, when you watch that documentary about him, when he goes to Aberdeen and he's playing Rangers.
Is that when they win the cup final?
He just won it and he's fuming.
Yeah. I'm definitely.
And he just, you can see he's just like, if he could, he'd fucking stab someone.
Yeah, it's mad that, isn't it?
Disgrace of a performance.
It's good though, that's what you want, because it's like when we was...
He says he regrets that though.
What?
Fergie in one of his books says he regrets that.
Reacting after the final. Yeah, I can understand that. Because you think it's a bit much, innit? You've just won a fucking cup final. The players are all buzzing. Like,
that's not Aberdeen.
Yeah, like, at least have the moment. At least publicly have the moment. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, we was over in Dublin, me and... Macca and Joe with Chockey, and he was telling us about the time when he was a coach and he did his coaching badges at United, and he said Fergie was that helpful, was like, you've got to do your badges here, you know, like studying for your coaching badges, you can come back and do them. And eventually obviously he got a job as a coach, but he said he got to Carrington one day, and I think I've told this story before on the Brew, there's no one there, couldn't find anyone, like Brian McClair's looking around for everyone, where is everyone, and we've just been beating off Liverpool, and Fergie had got everyone in the canteen. Like the staff, the coaches, the reception people, like just the cleaners, everyone, and we're just laying into him and saying, like, that is symptomatic. That result is symptomatic of this fucking club. And I'm
you cooking them beans?
Yeah. Like, the standards at this club are through the fucking
toilet. When you're scrubbing them toilets.
Yeah. And every single one of you should be ashamed of yourselves. Like, everyone just got it. And it was just like, because he was that, obviously, he said Liverpool, if he lost Liverpool, stay out of Fergie's way. He said he was raging for like a week.
But the thing
week.
Is, though, he's obviously got multifaceted personality. On multiple personalities, but he's clearly got that root and genuine ruthless streak that I don't have anything like that level of ruthlessness.
I genuinely don't think he gets credit he deserves. Now that might sound crazy because we give it him constantly, but when you hear shite, like, is Klopp a better manager than Fergie, and you think even that conversation, even saying out loud, shows you have no comprehension of what Sir Alex Ferguson did. He turned up at United, right? We had a cabbage patch training ground. Liverpool were about 14 titles in front of us. We'd not kicked a ball in the Champions League for 20 years. We'd not won a title for 22 years, whatever it was. We'd not won a trophy in 5 years or whatever, a few years. We had a team full of people that were struggling with alcoholism and injuries. Do you know what I mean? And within, 5 years, we were the Premier League champions. Within 10 years, we won the Champions League, or 12 years, we won the Champions League and the treble. Do you know what I mean? It's like, and within, by the time he retires, we've overtaken Liverpool. It's like, that's almost ridiculous.
Well,
it is ridiculous.
Think of like the stadium and those talks at the moment, whether to knock it down or not. But the reason it's the biggest stadium in the UK is because of him.
Yeah.
He built that club in order to facilitate that.
Everything in the 87, when he came, 86 when he came in, needed redoing. The ground was on its arse. The team were all over the gaff. The results obviously had gone to pot. And he did it all. The academy? City had three times as many scouts as we did. And he was like, it was Eric Harrison said to Eric Harrison, he said, why am I not getting any players? And the first team, he's like, well, Mark Hughes, Norman Whiteside. He said, that's not good enough. He said, well, do you know how many scouts City have got? They've got three times the amount of scouts, or double the amount of scouts we've got. And he said, within a week, Fergie tripled it. You know what I mean? It's a bit like Tanag now with the under-23s, taking that sort of interest in it. Because maybe we need someone like that. I don't think you can ever have a Fergie like what you were saying there, where he's across everything. Like,
the
not in the
too big
social
now.
Media as well. Especially. Imagine Fergie on Twitter, seeing some negative tweets about him.
It'd be pretty good though, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Or arguing with journalists.
He'd be box
on
office.
Twitter. He would, wouldn't it?
Oh, Fergie. Oh, mate.
Imagine him.
There's a sketch in that.
Imagine him to Custis on Twitter.
Fergie reacts to tweets.
No, I didn't.
Mean tweets.
That's a load of bollocks. Yeah. You're talking rubbish and you're banned for life. I think everyone would be scared to put anything on Twitter just in case Fergie called it out.
Can we make it happen?
That'd be amazing, wouldn't it? Like, a transfer rumour comes out, first reply, Fergie, not happening.
Who told you that?
Yeah,
banned.
Yeah, that's your exclusive.
And then all underneath it is, ha, ratio. There you go, that's what Fergie is. Nonsense, banned, and ratio.
Ratio. You could write an article. Because he just threw a ratio every time. Like, exclusive, United are in for something.
That would be spent in an iPad.
Yeah.
I'll DM him.
What's this?
Banned.
Yeah, it'd be absolute kind of. But I remember we had a talk with Mark Manley. He was the lawyer for Bauer Media, he used to work for, and he used to do legal advice for United. And it was just when Twitter was popping off, and he said to him, like, how do I stop him from using Twitter? I don't want him on this Twitter. And Mark Manley's like, you can't really do that. You know, it's like, it's by the law, they're allowed to do it. It's like free speech and it's their social media and they can do what they want.
You could put it in the contract.
You could, he was advising, you're just going to have to sort of take it on the chin and let him get on with it sort of thing. But he was like, he said Fergie just didn't get it and just didn't like it.
But that's what makes it amazing.
I don't think the players knew when it first came out though. Like the Wayne Rooney, A-Rail dropped picking up in the morning.
Yeah, atting himself.
Atting himself. I'll put you to sleep, little girl. Don't be saying stuff and not following it up. Yeah. I'll be waiting. Also, that in itself, if that was to someone else, is madness. You are playing for Manchester United,
imagine
threatening someone on a public forum.
I think Wayne Rooney's just tweeted me.
Yeah, I'll put you to sleep, little girl. Like, literally threatening to smash the red in where everyone can read it. Like, that's mental anyway.
Well, he's clever enough
but
to
also,
do it to himself.
Atting yourself. Like, going on?
Who was the player? Was it a Sunderland player? Fuck, who was it that tweeted?
Peter Anacheba.
Can you tweet something
Can you tweet
like...
something like, we're disappointed with this performance?
We're disappointed with this performance.
Like, we'll go again or whatever. Oh. Like, didn't even delete the bit, you're not better copy and paste. Like, honestly, early Twitter was off its head, wasn't it?
Which 90s football managers would have been... I mean, because Warnock's on it now, isn't he?
Yeah.
Which is mint.
It is. But he gets it, Warnock.
Yeah, he's playing up to the stereotype of Neil Warnock.
He gets his brand.
Yeah, but back in the day, if you had him on it, he didn't know his brand. He'd just been raw Neil Warnock.
Well, yeah, I mean, his book's the worst book I've ever read. I like a good football book. His book's
he's not
been
the worst you've ever read, though,
about
it?
28
it's
times,
not the worst you've read,
and
it?
All of them weren't his fault.
I know the worst you've ever read, surely. Ralph Rangnick, techno coach.
Well, to be fair, I didn't read that.
Just ridiculed it at random points because it was.
No, Warnock's book's awful.
Really?
Because you start to go.
Is it
not
like,
one of these times you got sacked? None of the 46 times you got sacked was your fault.
Is it like Alan Partridge bouncing back? Needless to say, I had the last laugh.
Yeah, really. Honestly, it's bad.
Is it?
It's very bad. It's very bad. I reckon 1990s Harry Redknapp, gold.
Yeah. Harry Redknapp was always off his head, though. He literally got sacked at West Ham for giving an interview to a fanzine where he told him everything. And then he never learned his lesson because he'd just be parked up outside his training ground telling Sky every single player that he was and wasn't interested in.
Harry Redknapp also stole a player off Barry Fry, which is on the Magic Spun podcast, that story. Barry Fry, if we can get him on, can we get Barry Fry on, please? He is the best brew guest we've never had.
He is. He's proper on brand for us as well, isn't he?
Yeah. I mean, what's Barry Fry? Oh, George Best, mate.
Yeah.
Right.
Sweet.
And then had his finger and toe in every fucking pie in football and
have
been
you ever
there
seen
a lot.
The negotiation on deadline day? It's go on YouTube, right? It's someone, Barry Fry negotiating with a player on deadline day. It is fucking gold. It is arguably one of the best YouTube videos you'll ever see. Because for starters, you're like, why are the cameras filming this? why is this in the public domain? And like they're like going through the contracts and bonuses. And obviously, he's at Birmingham, so it's not proper, like, no disrespect, Paddock level, but it's not United. So it's somewhere in between where you've got like certain clauses are going in there. Like, you know, if you get a goal, you get 500 quid. And he's like, 800. You're going, fucking hell, you're having more pence down here, son. Well, you better be fucking good goals. You know, that sort of thing. So it's like, they're just negotiating. It is mint. But yeah, but having Barry Fry on here would be fucking elite. We should get him on because he's at United, wouldn't he? Not that it matters, but...
He was an academy player at United. Yeah. And he roomed with or digged with George Best, hence why they're still mates. Hence why George Best played for Dunstable. Why did George Best play for a team that literally is about the same size as Paddock?
Yeah.
That's why, Barry Fry. And he put about 50 bag in the account for him. He was like, there you go. I'm back next year to do another game.
That's fucking class, isn't it?
Right, so he's got players at some non-league now. I think, were Bournemouth like Division 4 when Harry Redknapp first took them over?
Yeah, they beat us, didn't they, in the FA Cup in 84.
So
it?
I think Harry Redknapp were there then.
Yeah, yeah.
So they were getting players from non-league.
Yeah.
So I don't know if this was at Dunstable or if it was at, I think it might have been at Leverhead or somewhere like that as well.
Okay. Makes sense.
And he goes... Basically, we used to bend the rules. He goes, now you would fill in, like Dave's obviously the secretary for Paddock. We have different registration forms, this, that, and the other. He goes, and you would only fill in a registration form if someone wanted to come and buy the player because you had to pay some shit if you did it. He goes, so what you would do is you would have a blank form with the player's name on in your filing cabinet. Well dodgy. And he goes, he gets a phone call at home. Harry Redknapp's broke into his office at the club and stole his fucking registration and then told him and then signed a player for him. He's like, you fucking crook, Redknapp, I'ma shoot you.
Do you remember, I don't think about Harry Redknapp. He was at that thing where we met, kind of like, him and Chris Kamara there, funnily enough. And I remember Chris Kamara once, he used to do this thing where he used to go out of the grounds before the game. And he was at West Ham and he went, we're gonna go in the manager's office here 2 hours before kickoff. Do you remember he went, 2 hours before kickoff, Harry Redknapp and his assistant will be in here now. They'll be going over the tactics. They'll be getting ready for the big visit of, you know, Tottenham or whatever. This is where it all happens. So the cameras are live. This is live on Sky, like Super Saturday or whatever. Open the door, they walk in. Harry Redknapp's got his feet up on the desk like that with his assistant and they're both reading the Racing Post. And they look like that, seeing the cameras in, they're like... Mate, proper preparing for your big game. But yeah, it's like stuff like that, old stories like the way things were. Redknapp would have been gold. Barry Fry would have been gold on Twitter. Same about the racism, but Ron Atkinson would have been gold.
If it entertainment.
Yeah. If you hadn't ruined it all by being racist.
He tweeted what?
He follows him.
What about him?
He said at Marcel Dessier what?
No. Delete that now.
Ron.
What's a screenshot?
Oh, fuck me. Yeah.
Who
was the dodgy one with the likes? Ben sent me someone that we know yesterday and he was like, go and look at this guy's Twitter account. Does he know his likes are public?
Who?
Frankie Vaughan all over the gaffs.
Really?
Someone that shouldn't be doing that.
Really? There's a few like that, isn't there? There's a few that have been done for that, liking things he shouldn't be.
Samuel L. Jackson just did one, didn't he?
Yeah, that was who I was trying to think of. Didn't he like some porn or something?
It's just the issue is these people, we've had it with Paddock FC.
Yeah. What was he called?
You got people...
Tom.
Yeah. People who were, because they have access to the account, so they're going through Twitter and liking things and they go, oh shit, I'm not on my account, I'm on such and such account.
Yeah, so the Paddock FC account for a few months was just liking...
OnlyFans.
Don't fat titties and asses, I would say.
Really? He was in charge of it then.
Tom.
Tom. What happened to him? Oh, the lad, the Wolves fan?
Yeah.
Stop it. Really? He was liking porn?
No, it was a bit PG, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It wasn't quite filth.
Was it like, you know, big boobs?
But it was like, the football club can't be liking that, mate. Mate, what are you doing?
Tom was like off his head, though, wasn't he? Hey, is he still about? Does he still do comms for you?
He's in Japan, I think.
Is he? Yeah. He makes
money. Of course he is.
He came upstairs once. Joe was sat at his desk. Tom came in. Tom used to come in on work placement. He came in, Tom, and there was a load of rubbish on his desk. Joe was sat at his desk. And Tom just picked up all the rubbish off his desk and put it on Joe's. And sat down and started working.
Productivity, Jay.
Let's go through some of these chats before we start talking about what was it we might be talking about.
Manchester Who would Darby. Be mint on Twitter in the 90s? Keno.
Keno, when he used to drink,
would have been fire.
Yeah, he would have.
Eric would have been good.
Lee Sharp and Giggs back in the day.
They wouldn't have been tweeting. But have been sliding in DMs like a fucking water park.
Yeah. Can you imagine the DMage that would have been going on there?
There'd be screenshots of that going on.
They'd have to get him out of his vest. They'd have been putting that much work in.
Early Twitter was mad. We've got a mutual friend who thought he was DMing me once, and it wasn't. He was tweeting me something he shouldn't have about something I may or may not have bought off him. Asking if it was any good.
By the gram.
Let's just say I couldn't ring him quick enough to tell him to delete it.
Ryan, Yanni. So, you know our famous Welsh wizard? Remember that guy? He should not be named currently.
Yes.
Like the other fellow who shouldn't be named.
Yeah, I'm trying to keep up, but I think...
Well, you know, as part of the court cases, they read one of the wizard's poetry out. Remember?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Some of the shit I would give all my Premier League medals up for you, and I've got a lot.
Yeah.
Like, some of the fucking pillow talk from him is...
It was cringe.
It's impressive how he's actually put the numbers up he's put up.
Yeah. It was horrible, wasn't it?
It's horrendous, yeah.
I mean, awful, awful stuff.
What if he used to tweet them in the 90s? If we'd have had Twitter in the 90s, would Ryan Giggs have been atting birds? Check this
one out. I bet, though. I remember years ago, I don't know if you remember, Manchester United on video. Like, it was like monthly thing.
Yeah, that was MUTV.
That's the most Stephen Howson thing I've ever heard. Did he have it? Of course he did.
There's one where he goes around to his granddad's house and he's got mailbags full of letters of girls. I bet these letters he's replied to that people have got still.
Of course there is. Because are we doing this? No.
Yeah, I'm going to read it out. My darling Kate, unequivocally, our love was fate. He had to Google unequivocally, didn't he? I fell in love with you at first sight. I remember because I was high as a kite. This is fucking primary school level. Those beautiful eyes made me shiver. And I'm not going to lie. I think of you. I dream of you. That didn't rhyme.
No, he's gone with the old... he's gone with A-A-B-B... C-D. Rhyming sort of theory here. It's not really
Can't
working,
help
is it?
Thinking... Pulling you was my greatest ever coup. That stomach, those abs, those pictures you sent so I can keep tabs. You make me feel funny down there, honestly.
I feel like, do Jay, we have to?
13 Premier League
do we
titles.
That's what I mean. I don't really like this. I'm not going to lie.
We might as well finish. Especially when you're there and you look up and stare. I'm beginning to think you are always right. That's okay, it will keep us tight. I'm gonna end by saying you are my love, my friend, my soul, and most of all, you believe in me, which keep me hard as a totem pole.
Anyway.
I'd send him down for that. Hey. Oh my God. I don't care how good that goal was.
Proper Friday the 13th this today, innit, eh? John Piper, help me out in the super chat, says it was Adebayo Akinfenwa who said, can you put? Peter Kelly even, member of the Academy for 30 moments, always good to see Peter, says, Wanyama tweeted he was home alone and what should he do? The next tweet was him asking everyone, he's saying have a wank and tweeted asking what's a wank? Victor, I told you it was Anna Chamber, said, can you tweet something like unbelievable support yesterday and great effort by the lads?
Brilliant.
Hard result to take, but we go again. Daily can we get Blind that on the screen?
Daily Blind did a can you tweet something viewers. Like, didn't he?
Yeah, loads of them have done it. Like early Twitter, when you've got footballers who may or may not be not the brightest, trying to get to grips with something that, you know, involves pushing buttons and reading at the same time.
Seems like it's Derby weekend. Yeah. Jolyon Lescott, we remember.
What did Jolyon Lescott do?
He tweeted, I think he was getting loads of shit off Villa fans. He just tweeted a fucking, like, absolute top of the line merc.
Do you remember that?
He was like, my pocket did it.
Yeah. Do you remember?
No, he didn't.
Do you remember Stan Collymore wanting to meet him in the car park?
Meet who in the car park?
No, not that kind of thing. The other reason. Yeah, no, the other reason that Stan Collymore wanted to fight him. Like, he went after him saying, like, let's have a fucking set up or something. Like,
Curtis Woodhouse turning up at, is this your street?
Do you remember that? I love that. And I mean, Curtis Woodhouse is arguably the worst person on Twitter. He's just awful. You've engaged with him, haven't you?
Yeah.
His opinions are that, you know, he's proven that not everyone is entitled to opinion. His opinions are that bad.
Look,
that's
at
the
that.
Victor Anachebe one.
Can you tweet something like, that's brilliant, isn't it? Because you know his agent's sitting there going, oh, I'm out of a fucking job.
Yeah. How difficult
his agent
is it,
sent it.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. That's what his agent's like, oh, fucking hell. It's going to cost us a lot of money.
Damien Brown says, Steve, can you do his poems as an audiobook, please?
All right. No. Record appearance holder. It's the Premier League's greatest ever winner.
Two European Cups.
It's one of the most iconic goals.
The winning penalty in that as well.
Yeah. Have you got the Wayne Rooney one? They'll put you to sleep, little girl one. Can we put that on the screen?
Fuck.
Because that, I genuinely think that might be the greatest tweet ever.
Can you do merch of that? Just get out my t-shirt.
Possibly. We should do. Because it's got everything you can want. It's the fact that he's offering out someone. He said, I'm going to twat you. Right? And,
like,
he's like...
asking Rio to pick him up in the morning.
Yeah.
But not atting him. Just tweeting it. They just didn't get it, did they? Rio, does he not see it?
What was going through his mind, right, when he went, right, I'm going to message Rio.
Just text message on Twitter start with a T.
Yeah. Like, I'm going to tweet him, but not at him. Like, how did he think that information was getting to Rio? And how did he think he was getting the information back? Like, what was going on there? It was absolutely...
brilliant, isn't it?
Like, it's brilliant. And you know what? It's a shame.
Oh, Matthew Smith, did you see the one of Matuidi Googling a picture of his wife? Yeah, he just basically tweeted Matuidi's... Googled Matuidi's wife, then screenshot the Google result where it still got the search term at the top of it. I was like, happy birthday to my gorgeous wife. To be fair... the paparazzi have good photos.
Oh, do you know what? I'm just having a look. Right, I need to send this to you, Ethan. We're going to have... sorry, producer Ethan.
Liam Shazy says, have Scotty do a critical evaluation of Giggs's poem. Deconstruct them.
Right, do you know what? We can't. We could get Scotty to do that because he's a professional poet.
Mad, isn't it? How the fuck did anyone from Manchester make our job?
And him as well. Yeah. He's not that guy. Like, you meet him and he's you know...
yeah, he don't even have a cravat.
He's one of us. Let us know when these are ready, by the way. I'm just sending you the Matuidi one. The Matuidi one is genius. I didn't even know about that.
How's Giggs closed the deal with some of them fucking pillar talk, man?
Mate, playing for Manchester United regularly, I think, was...
I just have his medals around his neck.
Yeah.
They've definitely done that. He's definitely done that as well, I reckon.
Jason McAteer... Santa Knox says, Jason McAteer's tweets are bad enough now, but him in the 90s... that would have been. Dave P said, would Julian Dixby have been able to type a tweet without breaking his screen with a headbutt? He was right thugging, wasn't he? Hey, mate. Oh, God, no, not going to care about that. Yeah, go on, show us this. Anyone who missed this. So this is the Matuidi one. So he's just gone on Google then, there, and like searched for his wife, found a picture of her.
Found a beautiful picture of him and his missus.
Not bothered to crop out the bit where he searched for it.
Got a good battery though, hasn't
he? Do you know what I mean? Why has he not got a picture of his missus in his phone? Like, seriously? Has he not got... can you not add her on Facebook or something and get one off there? Like, why has he gone on Google Images?
It's paparazzi, don't it? They've got the professional ones. Do you know what I mean? An iPhone one that I took at breakfast, or there's me and you looking bomb diggity on the red
carpet.
Nothing
says I love you like I've just gone on Google Images to get a picture of us because I couldn't be bothered looking for one.
All good.
Have we got the Wayne Rooney one as well?
How many footballers you blocked by?
Oh, sorry. Sorry?
How many footballers you blocked by?
Oh, that's a good one. Not that many, really.
It's hard to notice sometimes.
Yeah,
you know,
my sort of...
McAteer blocked me.
Did it? See, I don't mind McAteer.
I think I asked him what flavour crayon he likes.
If you don't get that joke, it's Steve's inferring that Jason McAteer eats crayons.
And has a favourite.
Yeah, and has a favourite.
You can't tell me red tastes different to green. Yeah. It definitely does.
Yeah, I
John
don't mind.
Cooper Clark, though. Oh.
Do you know what, though? Why I don't mind Jason McAteer? Because within 5 minutes of meeting him, I only met him once, he'd already told me about the time he had a row with Graeme Souness, and Graeme Souness's bollocks were on show when they were rallying. And I kind of respected that. Because I thought, I barely know you. I've only just met you, and you're telling me the story like we're best mates.
Have you heard the story of Jason McAteer? Was it there was a qualifier somewhere, and he goes, it's come along the line. He goes, and I'm standing next to Roy Keane. He goes, they're doing the national anthem, and someone's gone. Blonde there with a rack. And it's someone got a blonde there with a rack. And he goes, he's passed it all the way down. He goes, it's come to me, someone's gone, look at a blonde there with a rack. And he's like, it's like right behind the dugout. Yeah. And he's gone. Just like, I'm not going to tell Roy Keane.
No, imagine that. Roy Keane would probably just snap your jaw straight away. Like, why are you doing that? We're about to play football. Honestly.
Roy? Nothing.
Nothing. Good luck. Let's get into these. but yeah, McAteer's one. Dave, have you been blocked by any?
Not that
for your far right views of any of them certain umbrage when you're retweeting the EDL?
It'd be a good thing. It'd be nice to find out who has blocked you.
Can I just set a disclaimer here? Because Dave's
you might as well not.
Dave's probably
because no matter what you say, people think that's the way
Dave
I am now.
Isn't really very right wing. He's barely right wing
compared to Farage.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? He's centre right, if that. Do you know what I mean? Who hasn't voted BNP now and again? Come on, let's not be funny.
Who hasn't filmed himself singing Royal Britannia?
Yeah, who hasn't booed Black Lives Matter now and again? Come on. Let's not start going down that route. He's our friend.
Who'd have thought of Jay doing the apology video? Interesting.
I always do the apology videos anyway. To be fair.
For yourself.
So we did this one.
Oh yeah, Michael Knighton, he's not a footballer.
He was giving me shit like that. And he put it out on Twitter beforehand. So my mum goes, oh, I'll have a watch of that. She goes, got home, went round to see her, and she goes, what's this about you being a racist?
Hey, you're racist now, father.
Hey, you're racist now, Dave. I'm sorry. Dave, I feel so bad that I'll stop doing it.
No, you're a bit.
Come on, who's blocked you? Because you used to be turbo on Twitter. You've chilled out a bit now, you're famous. But you used to be horrible.
I don't really notice if they block me now.
No.
I just dish it out and keep moving.
Yeah, that's the thing, innit? It's random. Sometimes you find it later on, don't you? Like, you'll
Melanie
see someone.
Sykes blocked me and I have no
Melanie
idea.
Melanie Sykes?
Yeah, because I'd never. Why? The Independent have blocked me. That's because I give Ian Herbs some shit.
Yeah, I think you've earned that one.
He earned it and all.
Right, okay. That's fair.
But I don't know. I fucking love Melanie Sykes. She went to my college.
That's weird.
Been before me, like, but.
Yeah. Who's blocked? Have you been blocked by anyone?
A United fan who's. Sing songs.
Oh, right, okay, yeah. Right.
That's the only
Some
one I know
call
of.
Call him the Morrissey of fan culture.
Frankie Boyle blocked me. That you know, bastion of free speech, an anti-woke comedian, blocked me because he wrote an article in The Sun, so I already had me back up. And it was about Fergie. And all I tweeted was, don't mind people having to dig at Fergie, but that article by Frankie Boyle is just shite. And he blocked me. Bit precious.
That teacher.
Yeah, I know. I'm gutted now. I don't get to see his little gems.
All I can hear is Jay Reid's son.
No, I didn't. It was on the, yeah, that's a good point, that. It came up on my Twitter. Hashtag don't buy the son. Steve Brookstein blocked me. Do you remember him? He won the first ever X Factor.
Yeah, I was going to say the singer.
Yeah.
What did you do to him?
He blocked me because...
There must be a way to find out who's blocked you. There must be an app.
He blocked me because he'd slagged off depression. He said people who are depressed are just lazy sadness. So I just, all I did was tweet a picture of him performing at Costa Coffee. That is it, right?
Which he did, publicly.
Yeah, and said, you know what, you've done well to keep your chin up after this. This is where your career is. And he blocked me. So, yeah.
No, the only way you can find out is by going to everyone's Twitter and finding out. Yeah.
It must be something. I wonder, like...
Who's your... Get involved in this chat, yeah. Let's have a look. Because you, some of you people must be blocked.
Yeah,
by
Stan Collymore loves a block.
Yeah, he does.
Piers Morgan blocked me. But I was calling him, I see you next Tuesday every day.
Didn't you used to wake up and do that? What was
good morning, everybody. Hope you have a great day, apart from Piers Morgan, who's a cunt. I also had, Odd Larson blocked me after.
Really?
Yeah, I was waking up. I watched one of his fights and I was like, for a professional fighter, he can't fucking fight, can he? Now, here's the thing, right? Would he have tuned me in about 3 seconds? What have I got in there though? Yeah. Because he's a shitbag. And that's, that was the point. And I used to tweet him and say, fucking fight me a shitbag. I did it for about 24 days and he blocked me.
John Terry's blocked me.
Has he?
Yeah.
I wonder if he blocked me after
and last week. Can I say, oh, his account's suspended now when I click on it, but he did block me. And it did take him 8 days, I think, of joining Twitter before he blocked me, which is quite good.
Why were you mean to him?
I wasn't mean to him.
His account isn't suspended at all.
Has it? Well, no, it's just because he's just blocked me. All I did was point out things he said. Literally. That is it. So if those words are offensive, it's his fault because he said them, not me. I've never uttered those words. He has. And when I pointed him out to him on a public forum, he blocked me.
Probably a good one, that. You know, the captain of the golden era has blocked you.
Yeah.
Mate, how many times are you ever going to get blocked by someone who won us a Champions League?
Why, what do you mean?
John Terry?
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Well, that's it, innit? I actually like the guy for that. My mate used to have Terry and an Elker on the back of his shirt.
That shit tells me that is.
Have you ever been blocked by someone you was gutted about?
Melanie Sykes.
What about you? Have you ever seen him? Like, wow,
I'm not controversial on Twitter, even though you say I am.
You know. before we go, should we talk about the Manchester Derby? Are we going to win or what?
Yeah.
Right, fair enough.
I meant not talk about it. We might win, though.
I think we will.
Why not?
Don't you?
Might as well.
All right, let's win if we do. Are we going to win then? Let's go win it then.
Yeah. Do you not think we will?
I think we've got a better chance than we've had in a while, but I wouldn't make us favourites.
Yeah.
I just remember the last one.
Fair enough. That's very sensible, which I'm not into. Go on.
I just remember the last one. I left at half time.
Did you?
Went to watch our under 21s, and they were even worse.
Are you playing this weekend?
Yeah, I didn't get bad at it. Everton.
Oh. Big game as well, isn't it, for you lot?
Every week.
Yeah, every week. Bouncing back from the thing that won't be mentioned again.
I mean, I was a bit aggressive with them on Tuesday, wasn't I?
Yeah.
Probably about as aggressive as I get.
Really?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
I was a bit shouty, wasn't I?
I think you need a bit of Pino.
Are you a shouty manager?
No, I'm not. No, people think I am, but I'm not.
No.
Right.
But he's good at pointing out what people are bad at.
Captain Hindsight.
He don't need to raise his voice for it.
That could be worse. When you're telling someone in a sort of calm manner that they're not very good.
No, Tuesday I was trying to get my fucking point across that. There's non-negotiables that I expect, and work rate's got to be the top of it. It's literally, we have some laminated things that we put in the dressing room for every game, and the first one is never outworked. It's the number one thing on who we are, and we got outworked.
Is that always like, I know it's a cliche, but is that like the bare minimum?
Yeah, because like, if you work
don't get
hard,
outworked no matter what.
Yeah,
don't
and
get outworked. Look, you know, you can
we
get
lost 5-0 last week, but they had about 7 shots.
Yeah, so
keeping it of a great game, to say the least.
That's a lot kinder than some of the comms I saw.
Yeah, I don't think Dre enjoyed it. but what wasn't good is, I mean, I'll give the credit to the opposition. I used a clip of them in the 80th minute, all behind the ball, all in shape. We've passed the ball backwards and their line has stepped up to force us even further backwards. There's three instances where a press is initiated. Apart from when you lose possession, you should always try and regain possession immediately because that's the best time. Like if you take the ball off me, you don't know what you're doing with it. You're just trying to reconcile the fact that you're now in possession. So that's the best opportunity for me to take it off you before you make that pass.
Yeah.
And then there's three times when you should look to press. Anytime someone plays a flat pass, anytime someone turns their back to you and faces their own goal, or anytime it's a bad touch.
Yeah.
And there was a few instances where we had like that in a sequence and didn't press.
Right.
And we had times when one of the goals, their fullback overtakes 6 of my players to receive a ball on our defensive line. And you're like, how's this guy running past 6 of you?
Yeah.
That's not acceptable.
There's no excuse there.
There's non-negotiables, and that's one of them. So, and I think for United tomorrow, the non-negotiable that we want to see at United is work hard. And I think that's why people seen the rouse with Marcus in a big way last year, is that we know he was injured, we know he hadn't had a pre-season, but there was times when he was walking about the place and didn't look arsed, which was the hardest to take because Marcus has never played like that. And that's alien to him now.
Do you not feel that sometimes, though, a lack of confidence can look like laziness?
No, it was.
Do you genuinely think
you can still work out?
There was bits that, yeah.
Because to me, it looked like someone who'd absolutely fallen off a cliff, both form and confidence wise.
You can see it with certain players, though, that you can see him running, working hard, but being frustrated and like, this isn't fucking working, I can't. Yeah. And get. But these people, like he said, the people walking around, he's no excuse for it.
He just sort of gone into a bit of a. I don't know.
There might have been some level of depression with everything about it.
And I think we're too dismissive of players when. You know, you had that Euros where he missed that penalty and all the absolute dickheads start coming out of the woodwork. Just absolute morons.
The thing was,
morons.
That's
tough.
Me and you talked about it, where people were writing him off when he was... But we knew what he was capable of beforehand.
And I think it's got to be tough to say that as well. And then he went from... And let's not forget, right? Marcus Rashford had a good sort of... I won't say half, but a chunk of the country who were waiting for him to fail. Because of what he'd done. Because of the stuff he'd done off the pitch. Yeah, we all love that. Do you know what I mean? Especially from those of us who we all do come from working class background or background where we've struggled, or some of us have been on food stamps or whatever, not food stamps, free meals, sorry, where you go, amazing. But there's also a lot of people looking at him going, I fucking hate this guy and I can't wait until he's done something where we can jump on it. So when he did, they came for him. Do you know what I mean? And the press came for him, fans of other clubs came for him.
I did a video saying, after he embarrassed the Tories twice and made him do a U-turn on the school meals, I remember doing a video. You lot might have clipped it up actually. I said, they're going to come for him and you all better be fucking right here behind him. Well, I know I was.
Yeah.
And I think I said, any guy that plays with a broken back, he gets a second chance.
Of course he does.
And I'm going to be right fucking behind him. Yeah. And I was worried that we might have seen the best of him, but I'm fucking delighted. And look at the run he's in now.
This is the thing. And listen, I don't mind, right, if you say, this player hasn't been good enough. He's not playing well enough. He's better than this. Yeah. We all said that because we all knew he was.
You'll have to be frustrated.
But
when I
saw some of the stuff that I saw, people literally telling him to fuck off.
Yeah,
sell him, like not giving him a chance. Talking rubbish about, he's always been shit. Has he? Really? Is that how you got like 100 goals, has he, by being shit at football? Fuck off. Do you know what I mean? That sort of stuff. And now he's banging him in. They're all fellating him.
Yeah, my thing was.
Do you know what I mean?
It's like, obviously he was,
it's easy before, to get behind a player scoring 8 in 8 games.
Yeah. Before he had his like drought, or not even drought, he wasn't playing well at all.
No, it was
frustrating.
Terrible.
And I think we did a video with you, and I was saying, you got to give him more time because you know what he's capable of. He did it in the past. He can't just drop off. Because you knew it was more than just football that was something up with him. But I'm so glad now that he's just banging them in. And if he bangs a couple in tomorrow as well, it'll just...
And do you know what? And I don't mind it. We get stick for it. You know, we were getting stick for last season. You lot always get behind him. Yeah. It's funny enough. Tend to do that. Do you know what I mean?
Like,
if a player's struggling, tend to get behind him and try and give him a bit of support.
Yeah, I mean, I've been known to, well, you know, criticise players and stuff, but if they're doing well, I'll always praise them. I want them to do well. When I'm saying someone's not playing well, not that I don't want them to play well.
Not MUTV where you go, oh, that was a fantastic performance and we've just been battered 5-0 off the Scousers. Do you know what I mean? So come on, like, let's have it right. What are you frowning at? You look like you're up to something. Twiddling you.
Jack says, can't believe you guys are talking about Neville and Keane interview thing. I've literally just watched it before I clicked on this.
That's how we roll. We know. Right.
Yeah, Dave P, feeling that your own government is out to get you cannot be an easy mental burden. And a Tory, the fucking horrible fox. You knew they would have been.
Yeah. This is the
Wait,
thing.
What's this? A fucking black man?
Exactly.
From the north?
What,
wait, and a working class black man?
From a single mother as
well.
Oh my God, this is a disaster. This is horrible. Look at him there, playing for England, taking a knee. Got to put an end to this. Oh, what, he's missed a penalty, fantastic. Let's crucify him, honestly. Anyway, we've got some new merch up on the paddockmerch.com. Put a link in the chat to paddockmerch.com, please. We've got some Casemiro merch because, as you very well know, Stephen Houseman, Casemiro is the best midfielder in the Premier League.
Like I said earlier, mate, some would say as good as Thomas Partey.
You had this argument, you, on one of your channels?
Some people don't. Literally, someone commented saying, Housen's always up for a laughable comment, but saying something about Casemiro and Partey, and I was like, laughable? Like...
Right, okay. Well, to be fair,
Thomas
Partey has won 5 Champions Leagues for a reason, Stephen. So get your facts right. Yeah? Do you know what I mean? Come on.
Someone saying thoughts on that Craig from Anfield agenda saying Henderson over scores.
You know what? I deliberately ignored that because, can I stop you there? I don't give a fuck what he's got to say about anything. He's a proper distasteful character and I've got no interest in anything he said. And all this, oh, he said something, I don't care. I'm not asked what he's got to say because if you go through his history, he says some fucking minging things and I'm not into it. Sorry to interrupt you there, but yeah, it's just like...
Oh. I was going to say, not the worst thing he said.
Well, that's my way of putting it anyway. Listen, the big game tomorrow, Paddock against Everton, but before that, you've also got Manchester United playing Manchester City. Sorry, Manchester United playing Manchester City. Sounds like you're talking about getting something right for once. Anyway, before that game, you've got the Manchester derby. So make sure you are liking, sharing, and subscribing to the channel. It's going to be Joe McGrath, Ryan Hopper, and a City fan on tomorrow. And then you're going to get a bit of post-match. I know we're mixing it up a bit. You're going to get a post-match reaction from Andy Tate as well. Now. You might have to. So make sure you are watching the channel, subscribing to the channel, liking the channel. Go and check out Stephen Allison's channel. Go and check out Stretford Paddock FC. Go and check out...
Well, apparently you can't because people will block me after what you said of tweeting.
What's that right-wing social media network that Trump made?
Yeah, Truth Social.
Truth Social. Come David on, man, Brick. That's so parody. Yeah. What film's that out of? Yeah, Dave's on Truth Social.
This has been The Brew. Thanks for watching. Sports Social Podcast Network.